on there? All right, here we go. All right, if you notice, I've got my Bucky representation cup down here. That holds, anybody who knows, that is holding my hot tea. And I hate hot tea. But I needed something to help break up some congestion today. So if I give you one of these, just go with it. No, we'll be fine. No, we'll try to stay away from that. We will be in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18 this morning. Colossians 1, 15 through 18. And again, the songs just go right along with this. I felt the communion meditation just goes right along with this. And what this is meant to be, and so the passages I'm going to share with you are ones that are to be encouragement. But what it is there's several topics we're going to hit this morning that remind us, as Rick shared in his communion meditation, that he is sinless and we are not. And when we go through life and we have our ups and our downs and we have our struggles and we have our trials, there's one phrase in this verse, these verses, that we're going to emphasize on today. So let's take a look. Colossians 1, 15 through 18. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, invisible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things. And here's the line I want for us to focus on today. And in him, all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Now, when I preach this sermon or use this text at chapel time, we'll talk about having preeminence, being first place. You know, so many times we like to run around, I'm number one, I'm number one. Jesus is number one. And that's what we need to remember. And he is the one who holds all things together. And that's what we want to look at. And there's so many different ways we could look at it. We could look at this. I know Louis Giglio had done his Krispy Kreme passage of scripture on this, on how through DNA and all of the things that we have, he holds us together. But what I just want to just keep the simple thought of, if our life is messed up, and so if you're out there and you've got some messed up part of your life, take your head and go like this. Okay, so that's everybody, okay? We've all got something that's messed up in. I may hit your subject today. I may not. But the fact of the matter is, we all live in a messed up world, and therefore our life is messed up. Now, we go to him because he's the one that can hold all things together. So what I want for us to consider is that if he's the one that holds all things together, if we've got some area in our life that is messed up, whose fault is it? Right? Are we getting it? Okay, so, and you said this was going to be an encouraging sermon? I said the verses I gave were going to be encouraging, right? Okay, make sure you pay attention. All right, so in him, all things hold together. The Lord Christ holds it all together. He sustains it all. It could not exist without him participating in its creation and sustaining the creation regularly. He, the Word, the divine Jesus Christ, is the unifying bond that holds it all together. Are we getting the idea? Can we say that together? He holds it all together. He, the Word, the divine Jesus Christ, is that unifying bond that holds it all together. So what can we conclude when there are aspects and venues in our life that are at best chaotic and falling apart? How do we manage? We're trying to cast all our cares upon Jesus, right? And yet we are human and we still take it to the Lord and leave it where? Right? Take it to the Lord and leave it there. So how do we manage? What's the solution? Today, I hope that we'll just look at a few things that I, as I jotted down this past week, things that I know that people struggle with. But I want you to understand that if there's a problem in that certain area, it's not the Lord's fault. There's something in our life. And see, that's where it's just difficult for us. Well, I'm trying to do everything that I can. But are you trying to fully rely on Him? See, sometimes it's not about what we can do. It's about what He has done and wants to do in our lives. So, well, let's just all be honest. There's not one of us here that has our life for Christ just as perfect as it should be. Right? As we met, and I'm not saying you needed to wait till this time, but this was a good time to ask for forgiveness in your life for sins in your past week. I think the time to figure it out is, or to do that is when you realize it. Stop and clear that up. But what I'm saying is, I'm pretty sure, hot tea. You don't know how bad that tastes to me. All right. That there's not one of us here that has our life for Christ just as perfect as it should be. And that is why I can confidently say and preach from this pulpit that if things are falling apart in your life, it is because we have cut ourselves loose from the one that holds all things together. And we have not given Him the preeminence that He so deserves. The first one that I thought that probably most people here struggle with is maybe some part of their marriage. Some part of their marriage. I mean, not everyone has a perfect wife like myself. I just got the look. No. But, you know, as we talk about marriage and things that go on there, Proverbs 19:14, a prudent wife is from the Lord. See, I threw that one in there because probably 90% of you don't know what the word prudent means. Okay? No. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? I remember years ago, I'd been working with this family, had a daughter, and the mom had decided to become Christians, and we got, no longer did we get the mom out of the baptistry, and she was drying off, and she's like, so am I good to divorce my husband now? I was like, what? Well, he's not a Christian, and I am. I'm just saying, there's struggles that we all go through. There's hardships in life. But, you know, Peter also tells us that it's through that believing spouse that the unbelieving spouse can come to obedience. And so we need to look at it that way. And so what we need to do is maybe do a little less preaching and a little more proper living if you want to convert a lost spouse, don't you think? Do you see what I'm saying? Right? To beat them over the head with the Bible or live like Jesus wants you to live. And so those are things for us to consider. How about children? Anyone who has kids knows the hardships and the effort that goes into that, and there's definitely the good times, but there's can be times of struggle. Psalm 34:11 says, children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So this implies a few things. that parents need to do some teaching, children need to listen, and they need, and the adults need to be teaching the fear of the Lord. And so many times I say, well, I spend a lot of time with my kid, but how much time do you spend with them talking about Jesus, talking about the Word of God, incorporating those things into their life? And then Andrew touched on this passage, part of this passage, Wednesday night, I believe. Psalm 127:3, behold, children are a gift from the Lord. Talks about those that are blessed if you have a quiver full of them. And so, as we said, we know that they're a good time, but nobody's going to strain your patience more than your children. Right, guys? No. They're like, no. Yeah. But nobody's going to work on you and then your children. And why is that? It's because you love them. How many out here are the perfect parent? No. And so, yeah, Mike, no. So if you're not the perfect parent, then you're not going to have the perfect kids. Right? And you know what is a hard thing to learn? That's okay. That's okay. Because as we've shared before, he's perfect. We aren't. We can't be. But that's the reason we've got him as our Savior. How about the family then? We go marriage, we go children, then broaden that scope. The whole idea of family. Many here have a great number of family involved in the congregation here. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 15 says, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name. And so if you ever have that idea, you ever have that thought, and you look across the building or you think about that family, well, you know, something's just not right with that family. Right? And if you don't think that, then you're probably the family. No, I'm just kidding. But as we look at that, and so we think, well, there, what's wrong with that family? Or this, you know what? They're messed up like everybody else. The only difference is maybe you see it a little more obvious. They all need help. We all need help. Ephesians 3 and said there that I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name. We are here. Any one of us is here, around the world, wherever it may be, only because God has made it so. And Jesus Christ is the one that then holds it all together. Again, if man has trouble with man, it's not God, it's man. Fourthly, then this morning, and I didn't know how to really... hot tea. Oh, I'm serious. You have no idea how bad that is. Occupation and education. And so I kind of lump those all together, because there are some that, as we try to remind kids, sometimes your education is your job. Sometimes your job is your job. So I just kind of put these things together. And so how does that work when things don't go well? How does it go when you don't get that promotion? How does it go when you don't make the honor roll? How does it go when you're this close to failing all the way across the board? Well, you know what? Here's the thing that is wonderful about Christianity, is you don't always have to get the promotion. You don't have to be a straight A student to get to heaven. Right? Yeah. Amen. And so as we look at that, it's a reminder. Now, when we do things, of course, we know later on in Colossians that we should always do things as if we're doing it for the Lord. That's how we should work. But Proverbs 12:24 says, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy will be put forced to forced labor. I was talking to one of the kids at school the other day, and there's some stones in the back parking lot. From the snowplow that it mounded up a little bit. And he's like, is it all right if I jump on these stones? I was like, yeah, you know, it'd be even better is if you get a rake and rake those out level. Well, he didn't want to do that. And I said, but, you know, so that's why it's important that you study and give it your best. I'm not saying you have to get an A in algebra, but it's nice if you put in your total effort for algebra and history and English class, because if not, that might be a job that you might be doing for the rest of your life, is somebody telling you, here's a shovel, go do it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Guess what? No matter what your occupation there, no matter your education, you can still get to heaven. But there ought to be ways that we conduct ourselves to be able to make that happen. Titus 2, 7 and 8 says, in all these things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. When you get to heaven, however this works, and we've talked about it before, whether there's a big line or however it works, what's not going to matter is that diploma from such and such a place. Right? What's not going to matter is that bank account booklet that you've got. What's not going to matter, but what's going to matter is how did you treat people when you were getting to where you were going? And I'm not saying those things aren't important. It's nice to have a big bank account. It's good. It helps the church. You can give to mission work and all sorts of different things there. You have your degrees. It's wonderful to have those things. But when it all said and done, what good is it to be the richest, most educated person in the world and lose it all? I think maybe God said or Jesus said something about that. To lose it all and go to hell if you lose your soul. But I like how Titus says there, go about your stuff so that when they talk about you, there's nothing bad they can say. You know, they were just a good, hard worker. You know, they just come in, nose to the grindstone. They, you know, didn't pick at a lot of people. Just got the job done. Because remember, as we said in Colossians later on, work as if we're working for the Lord. Then the next one, relationships and people. Now, I don't generally like to use the word relationships, and I was glad to hear John Mitchell say the same thing at Winter Worship and Workshop. He doesn't like to use the word relationships either, because if you look in the Bible, relationships are only talked about the carnal relationship between a husband and a wife. Or those in sexual endeavors when it uses the word relationship. We like to say today, well, Jesus desires to have a relationship with you. There's nowhere in Scripture that it says that. And so now I can ride my tangent because you'll all agree with John if he says it, but if I say it, yeah, nobody will believe it. I've got relationships or people. So how do we get along with people? You know, if we were to take a poll and you get names of the people that sit on this side of the building and the ones over here sit over here, and we take a poll and we're like, and so here we are, a 1 to 5, how would we rate how nice of a Christian you are? Well, you know, they've never talked to me. Huh, well, that's interesting as a Christian, isn't it? Aren't we a part of the family of God? Right? And yet, God forbid, there's people over here that have never talked to people over here? Well, we've only been in the congregation for 22 years, so I can understand why, you know. No, we ought to be going out of our way as brothers and sisters in Christ to help one another out. Relationship, Ephesians 4 and 32. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as in Christ, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Yes, you may be right. 94 years ago, somebody over here did something or said something bad to somebody over here. Here's what we're going to say. Get over it. Do you want to get to heaven? Maybe I didn't state that right. Do you want to get to heaven? Amen. Get over it. Right? Forgive. Let it go. Be forgiven. Right? And you'd be surprised. Well, they've never come and asked me for forgiveness. Well, then you go to them and talk to them. The forgiveness is for you. I'm talking about you, 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 you. Be kind one to another. And then the last one we want to look at here this morning. I really questioned on whether to put this one together, but the point I'm trying to share, I think, yes, is church and politics. Oh, they always say, don't talk about those things together, right? Don't talk about church and politics. But I will say this, and here's what we're going to say, because both of those, whether it's your political party or your religious affiliation, okay, it really all boils down to submission, right? Because, so let's just pick the religion or the political side. We know, and I'll put the 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 22 up, and Romans 13, 1 through 8. Romans is the one for the political side of things. You know, it's improper for us as Christians to consider our president an idiot. No matter how much we disagree with his, he is put there by God in heaven. I may not like it, you may not like it, but you know what? Sometimes leaders are put into place because we haven't been what we ought to be. And so then when we look at 1 Corinthians 11, Paul starts off that chapter, and we know that as Paul sharing the Lord's Supper. But if we go back and look at that, and it talks about your meeting together, and it talks about imitate me as I imitate Christ. It is about submission once again. Are you willing to submit to the authorities of God? Politically? Right? Because I know some people have known them in the past. They may go to church together and be on different sides of the aisle politically. I'm just letting you know. It doesn't, the struggle is not if you're a libertarian, a Democrat, or a Republican. The fact of the matter is, are you a Christian? Have you come to Jesus for the grace that he has to offer? And I know we all struggle with these things because we do live in a world that is messed up, especially in our politics. But you know why? I think the problem is our politics are so messed up. Because be honest, church, we don't have to look too far to see how messed up the church is today. And I'm not talking about the denominational world. I'm talking about the church that Jesus Christ died for. We've got our own set of problems that we need to rise to the occasion and muster enough effort to overcome them. And so as we look at this and we think of these things, I want for us to understand if there's troubles in your marriage, and there will be, Jesus is the one that holds it all together. If there are trouble with your children, and there will be, right, Andrew? I know you think Lorelai there is just as lovey-dovey as possible. Right? Oh, look at that. And she lays her head on cue, lays her head on. She's going to cause you heartache someday, if not already. And that's just the way it's going to happen, right? And so we've got to look, families. Nobody hurts us more than family, it seems. How about then what was our occupation and our education? We're going to struggle with those. Sometimes those may be, and that's what we've been doing on the Wednesday nights, is having different guys share different experiences in their work life that can help us as Christians to overcome. And when we run away from these things, when we don't put ourselves here as an opportunity to hear these things, why do we expect our life to just be perfect then? Because it's going to fall apart, because Jesus is the one that holds it together in our relationship and with people. Right? We say that many times. Oh boy, life would just be so much better if it wasn't for people. Right? But that's the thing. People's who Jesus died for. So we got to get over it. Church and politics. It's just about submission. But the problem is, whether in the church or in our political views, we don't like to submit. We don't like to give in. But I'm telling you, if we want for Jesus to hold it all together, I was going to this morning, I thought about it all week, but I didn't do it, is have a wonderful Jell-O mold up here. And that have the plastic container that the mold or that the Jell-O was put into be Christ. And then I was going to have Colton and Jackson come up here and take Christ out of the equation and try to pass that big jelly mold back and forth to each other. And then I thought, I don't want to have to mop after the service. But it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. It'd fall apart. And that's what we try to go through our life, and we try to think, well, I've got it worked out. I can hold this jelly mold all together. I can hold this thing all together. And the Lord says, let me help. As a matter of fact, they'll say, I got this. I've got this. When our life seems to be anything but what we want and what we desire, when things do not go the way that we have envisioned or even planned, when our way is cold and dark and it seems as if it's going to last the rest of our life. Groundhog Day reference, sorry. Dawn got it. We may bring into question, why are things falling apart? I suggest that we take a harder look to Jesus. Run to him. Fall at his feet. Cling to him. Find rest in him. Get into his word. Spend heartfelt hours in tears in prayer. For remember, for in him all things are held together. If your life is a mess, we just touched on just a few superficial things that can cause our life to be a mess. But if your life is a mess and you just that the path in which you are headed down now is not getting it done, then we ask you to consider, let's do it Jesus' way for a little while. Right? Come to him believing in who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God. Repent of your sin, knowing that your sin has already been taken care of on the cross at Calvary. What we need to do is just acknowledge that we need a Savior. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sin, as we are nothing more than dead man walking. We are buried. Arise to walk in the newness of life, and then do our best to live a faithful life for him. And guess what? We're going to falter. We're going to stumble. But that's kind of what Coop shared this morning, is that he was still ready to show compassion. Let's be like Jesus. Let's turn to Jesus, for he's the one who holds all things together. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation?
Let's sing, Draw Me Close to You.